We pray. Heavenly Father, Lord of all glory, our hearts melt in thankfulness at your abundant mercy and grace. You know our needs and supply for all of them, dear Lord. You hold us in the palm of your hand and love us with an everlasting and enduring love. You have given your all that we might be wholly yours. Be with us, dear Lord, and fill us with gratitude now and for all eternity. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. Are you going to be celebrating Thanksgiving in the traditional way? Family gathered around with big, hungry smiles around that turkey and potatoes and gravy. With moans and groans, shoving down that last piece of pie. With that long winter's nap in front of the football game. Is that your plan for celebrating Thanksgiving? Pretty traditional, huh? But I would challenge you this year. How about if we were to celebrate Thanksgiving like a king? Sound good? But not just any king. You know, there's good kings and there's bad kings. Let's celebrate Thanksgiving like a king, like King David. Now, there's a king. Scripture calls him a man after God's own heart. Wow. How does a man after God's own heart celebrate Thanksgiving? Wouldn't that be interesting to hear his rendition on Thanksgiving? So that we can stay away from this other king, or this wannabe king who would like to attack our Thanksgiving, that wannabe king of that dark, evil person on the inside of our sinful nature. He's the one who would really like to Shanghai our Thanksgiving and make it a tragedy instead. Rather, let's celebrate Thanksgiving like King David. You see, King David was obsessed. Usually we think of obsession as a bad thing, huh? This Thanksgiving, there will be heroin addicts who all Thanksgiving will give thanks if they can just find that next fix. There's also shopaholics who will use all of Thanksgiving planning and strategizing how they're going to conquer Good Friday and all the conquests they'll come home with. Now, those are bad obsessions. But King David talks of his holy obsession in this psalm this evening. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is such an important psalm because it seems like King David is talking to himself here. We get to listen in on one of his most private, personal, intimate conversations as he's talking to himself. He whispers in his own ear, all my inmost being, thank the Lord. Thanking the Lord wasn't just turkey deep for King David. And so this Thanksgiving, perhaps one of our first prayers is, oh Lord, give us such a holy obsession as King David. Now think, King David was the most powerful king of his day, ruler of the most powerful kingdom of his time. He truly conquered new lands as was known throughout the entire world. If we were in King David's shoes, would our prayer sound like him or like his prayer? Even today, that wannabe king on the evil side of us wants to sit on its own throne, wants to be its own king. I have this fearful anticipation that had I been in King David's place, my prayer would probably have been very different. It probably would have sounded something like this. Oh, I love being king. I love the power and the wealth, all that gold and silver. I love the parties and the servants, how everybody will just jump at my command. I love to rule and to conquer and to widen my borders. I love to make people tremble before me and to see their unquestioned devotion. I don't think that was King David's prayer. No. Notice how King David didn't put his attention on himself, even in his most personal and intimate moments. His focus went directly to his Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my being praise his holy name from the very depths of his guts. It's remarkable, though, with everything King David had to celebrate and have fun with and all the things in his empire, the very first thing on his Thanksgiving list is the very same thing that's on our Thanksgiving list all this time later. He lived 1,000 BCs, and yet with all of his heart, he thanked the Lord who forgives all your sins. As being king, one of King David's jobs would have been to be judge. He would have had people brought before him under treason, murder, embezzlement, all kinds of crimes. They probably would have come before him, and time again, he would have had to look that person in the eye and declare them guilty and sentence them to death. And as those words came out of his mouth, so his soldiers would haul them away and stick a knife in their heart or cut off their head and fulfill their king's orders. Wow. As king, you have the rule over life and death. That can either puff up a person, fire up their egos, or it can crush a person to have that kind of power. This Thanksgiving time, do we sit on imaginary thrones, thinking ourselves to be better than others, condemning the small, stinky, sinning people around us? Do we really think this Thanksgiving time that God is pleased with us looking down our nose at those around us as though our sins don't stink as much? Paul reminded the Romans, "You therefore have no excuse, you who have passed judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." David, a man after God's own heart, perhaps one of the big steps he made in that direction was realizing that with every man he condemned, he was also talking about himself. You see, David knew the terrible consequences of falling under the judgment of the law. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba and assassinated her husband, Uriah, all the time thinking he would never be found out, all the time living with a terribly guilty conscience. And that's why he was so thankful for the Lord, that the Lord didn't bring his judgment down on him, but he forgave all his sins. After he had committed those crimes, King David realized in ever greater terms that he was no better than those people he was condemning and sending to their death. And so he walked humbly before his Lord. He realized that all his splendor would not be able to pay for one single sin. And so King David came to the Lord with a heart of repentance, with nothing in his hands, and the Lord forgave his sins. Jesus took on his adultery and his assassination and made it his own and spilled his blood, bled to death in payment for David's sins that should have sent him to hell, all to free King David and to make him a child of heaven. Our Lord is a Lord of forgiveness. If we thank him for everything else and forget that, we've lost the whole focal point of who our God is. And so we join King David in taking our eyes off of us and all of our accomplishments and placing them on our sins and on the blood-stained cross where peace was purchased for you and me too. This Thanksgiving, we travel with King David and humbly bow before our Lord, the Lord who poured out his blood to make peace between us and God, and thank him. Thank him for covering over our evil arrogance with his divine blood. And there we feel our most inner being, thanking the Lord for his forgiveness. Do you know anyone this Thanksgiving season who is going to spend Thanksgiving in the hospital? Or maybe battling with cancer? Do you know of anyone who is suffering from a shattered marriage or shattered family? Or someone just simply with a broken heart or on their deathbed? Our lives have so many ups and downs. Good days and bad days. What was life like for you a year ago at Thanksgiving? What will it be next year at Thanksgiving? And yet our Lord, in spite of the ups and downs, reminds us, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That is his solemn vow, oh, give thanks. King David knew of sickness and heartache and misery. For many years he was chased by King Saul, who wanted him dead in the worst possible way. At the end of King David's life, he's described like this. When King David was old and well advanced in years, he could not keep warm, even when they put covers on him. What an interesting picture of such a great man becoming so weak and frail. When life stinks, when it's miserable and racked with pain and feeling hopeless and helpless, when we're covered with sickness or on our deathbed, all those are simply little mini sermons reminding us of what God says. The wages of sin is death. Fortunately, that verse doesn't stop there, does it? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This same Jesus who paid for our sins is the same one who promises us health and relief from all of our suffering, either in this world or the world to come. We will be free of all suffering, no more tears, perfectly in health, perfectly restored. And so David thanks the Lord that he does save us out of all trials and troubles. He lifts us up out of the ashes. He brings blessing where there is only tragedy in a way that only God can do. Thank the Lord who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. One of the things I wish for in this Thanksgiving that will not be is that we could all go outside and see the Milky Way. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It's right out there, outside our door. And yet we can't see it. Man-made lights have blinded us from seeing God's celestial lights. And oh, if you've ever seen the Milky Way, you will never forget it. And if you haven't seen it, it's hard to imagine that light show that's even greater than Disney World. But King David could see the Milky Way. Every night as he'd go out on his porch, he'd look up and see those millions of stars forming a thick ribbon of light across the sky from horizon to horizon, and totally bedazzled by them each and every time. Can we imagine King David out there on a cool evening, looking up at the sky and hearing God say to him, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." Really? That's breathtaking. We are small specks on a big planet in an even bigger Milky Way galaxy amongst billions of galaxies in the universe. Who are we that God should take any notice of little specks like us? And yet he says, not only does he take notice, as big as that galaxy is, that's how much he loves you and me. It's almost beyond our ability to fathom. But King David believed. He believed how much the Lord loved him, and that was more precious to him than life. And that too was a big step in becoming a man after God's own heart. Do we believe that God loves us that much? Thanksgiving is always a hard season for those who carry around with them a guilty heart. Guilt is one of those things that's so hard to get rid of, huh? When we've done a grievous sin, a hurtful sin, a haunting sin, it seems to stick with super glue. It's that heavy house we're carrying on our back that continually wounds us and will not leave us alone. And we may feel there is no separating ourselves from the guilt of our sin. And yet, King David celebrated Thanksgiving with a very, very light heart. He thanked the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So far away, they can never find their way back to our doorstep. God has forgiven our sins with an eternal forgiveness. He washed our guilt away as though the sin was never committed in the first place. He refuses to remember it anymore, and in that, he gives us permission to put it out of our minds and hearts. That's how overpowering his forgiving love truly is, that we might rest in peace, not only with him, but even with ourselves. In these cold, dark days, it may be even harder to find true love. More and more shattered lives. And in this cold, dark time, God's love shines all the more brilliantly. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. This Thanksgiving, we can truly be thankful if we have a mother and father who truly do care for us, who rejoice when we're happy and cry when we're sad, who really are in our corners and praying for us. What a blessing from God. But no matter what our life circumstances are, what we truly rejoice in is our Heavenly Father, who has compassion for us. He hurts when we hurt. He rejoices when we are happy. He cares about our plans and works in all things for our good. He is always in our corner and knows exactly what we need. With a fatherly love and devotion, he was moved in his heart to save us from our sins, and he's moved in his heart to care for us and protect us and guide us through life one day at a time until that day when he takes us home. David was a man after God's own heart. He couldn't think of celebrating Thanksgiving without his Lord being the very center and focus of all of his thoughts. The Lord's compassion is new every morning. And that's what got King David out of bed. and gave him peace as he went to sleep. This Thanksgiving, we celebrate like a king, like King David, with hearts confident in our Lord's forgiving love. We thank the Lord for making us just what we are, the children of God, members of his royal family, prince and princesses in the king's home to dwell with him forever in heaven in paradise. This Thanksgiving, from the bottom of your heart, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Please rise. We pray, merciful Lord, your love is beyond words. Dwell in our hearts and lives, dear Lord, that we might be aglow with your compassion and mercy. Warm our hearts, dear Lord, by your abiding care and your eternal forgiveness, that we all the days of our life might be settled and at peace and content in your abiding love and presence. To you be our glory unending. Amen.